Brett Hollander back here on WBAL, and a very interesting list came out yesterday. I love these lists from Forbes. This one is the top 50 valued franchises in professional sports around the world. And joining us right now from Forbes, senior editor Kurt Bodenhausen. Kurt, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me on, Brad. I appreciate it.
First of all, what is the criteria? Because there's a difference between the value of a company, what someone's willing to pay, and their overall revenue stream and what they actually make here.
Yeah, typically, teams get valued on multiples of revenues. Companies will often look at profitability, but profitability can really swing pretty dramatically from year to year with sports teams, whether they bump up salaries or they make the playoffs. And revenues are usually pretty consistent when you talk about local TV deals, ticket revenue, sponsorships, that sort of thing. And so sports investment bankers have typically value teams at multiples of revenue, and the multiple depends on how big your market is, what kind of stadium situation you have, and so that's what we've traditionally done. So here, what we do is throughout the year, we're valuing sports teams. Typically, we'll do one league at a time at the beginning of the year with a package of stories, and this top 50 is really a mashup of all those lists together across all sports.
Well, clearly one thing is for certain. These teams at the top levels of sports, we're talking about the top leagues in European soccer, Major League Baseball, the National Football League, and the NBA, they're not hurting for money.
No, that is for sure. It's a good time to be a professional sports owner right now. We're seeing a real explosion in valuations, particularly for those trophy franchises in big markets. Those franchises are really commanding a premium right now when they do trade hands, whether it's the LA Dodgers or LA Clippers. We're seeing huge valuations. And then when you talk about European soccer clubs, they're really just playing a whole different ballgame than what's going on with Major League Baseball franchises or NFL franchises, who are, for the most part restricted to the United States, North America. These top soccer clubs in Europe, they're playing an international game. They can go into Asia and sell banking sponsorships and car sponsorships in each country. And, so they've got a banking deal in India, and they've got one in Korea, and they can get one in Japan. You can't do that. Even as big and powerful as the Dallas Cowboys and New York Yankees are, they can't pull that off.
Fascinating. I want to get to that in a moment because that's really, I think, the headline of this list. We're talking to Kurt Bodenhausen, senior editor from Forbes. The other thing that's interesting, going back to my original question, the Dodgers sold a couple of years ago with the Guggenheim Group, Magic Johnson, over $2 billion. You have them valued at less than that, although still incredibly high, the third highest valued American sports franchise, sixth overall on your list. So even if a team is technically in the open market going to get a couple of billion dollars, you're looking at something bigger than that, much like the Clippers, who we know can sell for over $2 billion just because someone wants to pay that much. They're really not worth that much.
Yeah, these things are, valuing anything, whether you're talking about a sports team or a house or a company is a tricky prospect. You look back at some of the crazy internet valuations, the pets.com of the world, back before the NASDAQ bubble burst. These companies were worth tens of billions of dollars, and then all that value disappeared. I don't think that value is going to disappear with these sports teams by any chance, because they have substantial revenue supporting them. But you look at the Clippers deal alone, you got Steve Ballmer pays bids, it's a long way from getting done. He bids $2 billion, the next bid is 1.6, the next bid's 1.2, and then you got a handful of guys who are saying, I'm not bidding 1.2, that's crazy.
They're not worth that much.
Yeah, they're not worth that much.
They have a lousy stadium deal. They're the second franchise for the NBA in that market, and it always will be. They're probably maybe the fourth or fifth most important team in that market, period.
Right.
They've been historically miserable. So this is just toy play money for Ballmer. He's doing it for fun.
Look at the Clippers. The Clippers are going to sell for 15. If the Ballmer deal goes through, the Clippers will sell for 15 times revenue. The next highest multiple for an NBA franchise in the history of the sport was 5 times revenue, and that was the Bucks sale, and then also with the Washington Wizards when Ted Leonsis bought the team. The 76ers, who are, Philly's not as big a market as L.A., but Philly's still a big market, fourth biggest market in the country. 76ers, again, are a tenant in that building. They sold sold for 3 years ago for 2.5 times revenue. So it's there's no economic reality in what Steve Ballmer is doing at $2 billion. And with the Dodgers, you know, it's a funny situation, too. Guggenheim came in. They were supported by, you know, having this, you know, huge stockpile of insurance money that they had to put to work. You know, again, they bid $2 billion. Next bid after that was around $1.5 billion. So that's a big gap. Nobody else is willing to go over 1.5 except these guys blow it out of the water and bid $2 billion. So it's a tricky business trying to value one of these franchises.
Great stuff. Kurt Bodenhausen, senior editor from Forbes, is with us here. We're looking at Forbes, a publication of the top 50 most valuable franchises in professional sports globally here. And to that end, your top three franchises are Real Madrid, Barcelona, Man U, and then the Yankees and Cowboys and Dodgers. That's amazing to me. I don't know if, as an American kid growing up, if I was even aware these teams existed until 10 years ago, maybe. But all of a sudden, the explosion of these international soccer clubs from Europe, I'm not sure exactly what the players make in comparison to what the average Major League Baseball player or NFL player makes, or maybe the high-end guys. Is anyone over there making what A-Rod makes? Where are they getting all this money? Are their TV deals bigger?
The TV deals, you know, they're comparable. They're not that much bigger. Actually, TV, the money's not really coming from TV so much. If you look at total TV deals amongst the major soccer leagues, so the Premier League, the German Bundesliga, and Italy and Spain, and then France, those five leagues, you know, it's pretty much on an annual basis on par with just the NFL. But what these guys are doing, I mean, the commercial, so from sponsorship, and that sort of thing, the revenues from and tickets aren't crazy, you know, in terms of what they earn from the game. So tickets and gate receipts.
Yeah, they don't draw that well, do they?
It's not crazy.
Everyone thinks they draw so well over there. It's really not true.
What's really separating these guys out is the commercial. It's what they're selling sponsorships around the world. So, I mean, you look at Manchester United. They just signed a deal with Adidas. So Adidas is going to sell the jerseys, and they're going to pay him $130 million a year for the right to sell the jersey. I mean, it's, you know, and then Chevrolet puts their name on the jersey. That costs them $45 million a year.
The jerseys and around the stadium, when you see it on television, it's NASCAR. As far as the commercialization, every inch of everything is sold.
And it's a global business. I mean, again, you know, Bayern Munich, they generate over $300 million in commercial revenue. So that's just from sponsorships and merchandise. $300 million. I mean, that's more than any NBA franchise generates. I mean, dramatically more than any, you know, the only teams close to that are the Lakers and the Knicks. That's a lot of money. And again, it's just because they can sell their product around the world. And the American teams just can't do that. I mean, they have these huge worldwide followings. Mm. You know, all 32 NFL, social media is not a perfect gauge of popularity, but to give you an idea of how big these franchises are, all 32 NFL teams combined have 75 million Facebook fans. Barcelona by itself has 69 million. Real Madrid has 67. I mean, it's, you know, these guys have fans, and these are the people that are buying the jerseys around the world. This is what allows Barcelona to sell sponsorships in, you know, every single country, because outside of the U.S., every other country is obsessed with soccer. Now we're hearing more about it in the U.S. because these guys are doing summer tours in the U.S. and they recognize the U.S. is, you know, really one of their last untapped markets. And so that's where you're seeing a lot more of these franchises come into the U.S. and play friendlies and that sort of thing.
Ironically, American owners have overtaken some of these franchises, like the Red Sox owner and the Buccaneers ownership group now. They're owning a lot of these teams. So they have a couple of teams actually in the top 10.
Yeah, the Glazer family, they made a lot of, they caused a lot of angst when they went in and bought Manchester United, which the people of England think of as their own business, and to have an American come in and buy it was very dicey, and their tenure has been very rocky. But the Glazer family, you know, first got into sports with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and so they're in a transition stage right now with the patriarch Malcolm Glazer dying over this past year. And then, you know, you've got a guy like
John Henry.
John Henry, yes, absolutely. So John Henry owns, went in Fenway Sports Group, bought Liverpool, and they're the longtime owners of the Red Sox, and they've created an incredible sports franchise, also own 50% of a NASCAR franchise, and now you know, have LeBron James and Johnny Manziel under their wing. Also, from a marketing standpoint, they have made great strides. And then the last guy who's really created this huge global sports empire is Stan Kroenke, who's the largest majority, who's the largest shareholder of Arsenal soccer club, and then owns the Nuggets and Nuggets and Avalanche out in Colorado, owns the regional sports network out there, as well as the St. Louis Rams. So he's really got his finger all over the in a lot of different things, too.
We'll come back with Kurt Bonhausen from Forbes. We'll look at the two local sports franchises. Where do the Ravens rank, and where are the Orioles? We'll do that next when we come back here on Sportsline on WBAL.